goes on, on down the line, when the list goes on.
Am I able to expense a long lens camera? Think of the great magazine shots that I would get.
So let's talk about The Rock.
I really would. I tried to take pictures at, Arthur Ashe? And I've got probably a pretty decent camera. I just don't know how to use a damn thing, but I don't have a long lens. So my shots did not end up very good. As it turns out, you can't just pull up a camera, go click, 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 and it takes the best photos ever, like Kimber Last Kick or Scott Lesh. But yeah, I want to learn that end.
Yeah, you do that. So The Rock is doing the media rounds. He's promoting Red Notice, which is going to launch on Netflix on November 12th. And it's been very noticeable as part of these media rounds that he keeps on talking about wrestling. Mm-hmm. And what's fascinating about it is that a few years ago, he was on Kelly and Ryan, and he very quietly announced that he was retired from wrestling. Yes. Then you recall he did that video where they kind of teased a match with Roman Reigns. I think it was on Dwayne's YouTube channel, if I remember right. Well, now he's very publicly in a bunch of interviews suggesting that he's going to come back. Comicbook.com is one example. He said to them, quote, "I think possibly, you know, there might be another match down the road. It would have to make sense." Sure seems like they're looking at a comeback. Now, according to Dave Meltzer, WWE is tentatively planning to do Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 38 in Dallas because they think that Rock and Roman makes more sense at 39 because it's in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. You and I have talked about how I think 38 in Dallas makes more sense because Rock likes to be part of records. And yep. They have the potential to break the attendance record. They won't, but they have the potential to break the attendance record at AT&T Stadium in Dallas for 38. Plus, Rock's not getting any younger. He's going to be 50 next year. And he's not getting any younger. And so I think 38 makes more sense, but it looks like they're teasing 39. Are you at all surprised that Rock, you know, given where he is in life, given that he's going to be 50 next year, he suffered all those injuries when he came back to face Cena? Are you at all surprised that now it looks like he's looking at another match?
No. He's got to do one more. Eric Rowan cannot be his last match. All due respect to Eric Rowan. And that was a cool moment. I love it. I say do that all the time. I said to do that with The Undertaker. Have him come out there, choke slam, pin somebody. Harmless. But we will be, if it happens in LA, 10 years removed from his last match. Think about that. When he came back in 2011, mm-hmm. he was like 7.5 years removed. Mm-hmm. He was like CM Punk length removed. And now we'll be like 10 years removed from his last real match. But him putting over Roman Reigns clean as a sheet. And to be honest with you, if that match is going to happen, if they can get the if they can nail The Rock down, and I would make sure you got him. Roman should not have lost the title until then. I'm talking like a 2-year reign. I'm talking like 2.5 years. Like, just do it.
That'd be like Hulk Hogan level, you know, back in the 80s. Hulk Hogan.
I think
level.
It'd be more impressive because he's on TV every week.
I 100% agree. Yep, live.
But as of right now, I'm looking at what's on the table. He's facing Big E. He's going to get singles matches with Xavier and Kofi. They should challenge for the title. Mm-hmm. They're going to do Drew, yep. And that will get them done until like Brock. They'll probably get 2 or 3 out of Brock because that's what they do. I just think that Roman should be the champion until there is a guy that you say, well, he's got to take the title off of him. And that could happen because a couple years ago, Becky Lynch became, oh my gosh, she's got to be the person. Kofi Kingston was like, got to be the person. So unless that happens, keep the title on him until then. And then maybe he drops it ahead of that match because Rock and Roman doesn't need the title.
Yeah, no one would believe Rock's going to win anyway.
Their family is more important than the title belt because this whole thing is built on head of the table, the bloodline, and who's been the head of the table for decades? It's been The Rock. He's been that. So I think that he can lose it ahead of that match, and that's what maybe fuels this.
Maybe if Rock costs him the match or something.
Sure.
But they'd have to, they'd have to do it in a creative way. You can't do the bullshit. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's The Rock's music and Roman's distracted. You know what I mean? None of that crap. I mean, we'll see. I'm somewhat surprised, number one, that he's looking to come back after a decade, like you said. And I'm somewhat surprised that they might look to 39 instead of 38, given his age.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, again, the fact that a few years ago when he quietly retired and now in multiple interviews, he's kind of suggesting that he's got another match in him kind of surprises me. But maybe what you're saying is true. Maybe Rock's mentality is I want my last one to be a big one.
Yeah.
And so that could be where they're going. Very interesting. I want to ask you something about Full Gear. You are one of the people that has suggested that Adam Page be a transitional champion.
No. I mean, not anymore. Like,
okay, because you did say that before.
At some point, not like Louis Dangor level. He should lose it in a week and a half. I think you wait and see how the reaction is in like the weeks that follow, and if he's still super super over, you rock with him.
Okay,
at this point, yeah.
And do you think MJF is the guy?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to ask you about Chris Jericho's comments about MJF. Because this is interesting. Jericho was on the Sports Media with Richard Deitch podcast. Mm-hmm. You check it out on Apple. I believe it came out today or yesterday. And they were talking about wrestling promos. And Jericho brought up MJF. And he said something that I thought was very interesting. And I'm going to read this quote. He said, there was a line a few weeks ago that MJF used about Lex Luger being in a wheelchair to Sting. I don't think that gets heat. I think it makes people feel uncomfortable. I think it makes people feel bad. And you don't want that. So there's a fine line between using real life issues and going to inside baseball where it's like, I don't know what this guy is talking about, but it just doesn't feel right. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I got some thoughts. Oh boy. So there are a lot of things that MJF say that I'm like, oh, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. There's a whole lot of shit that Jericho has said that I wouldn't like. I've brought up the veiled homophobic stuff and people are like, oh no, that's not what he meant. He didn't mean who's the top guy in American Top Team. No, it was a gay joke, guys. Chris Jericho and this angle do a bunch of LOL, you're gay stuff. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, man. And I'll get people that go, oh, you're triggered by this. You're offended by this. No, I've seen him get 20,000 things over. He can do better. He's smarter. He's funnier than that. MJF is smarter than that. And
I mean, where did this come from, Sean? You know
what I'm saying? Ripoff. Anyway.
Exactly.
Anyway, like MJF is smarter and funnier than that. But part of MJF's character is he does go for the low-hanging fruit. He does appeal to lowest common denominator. If he's just annoyed by you, if he's pissed off at you, he cuts really deep and he gets really personal and he goes after those things. To me, I saw Jericho's stuff and the ATT stuff as more low-hanging fruit because it's just like, it wasn't direct. It was vague and lazy. And you could say that about a lot of stuff that MJF says, but this was direct and about Sting and about somebody that he cared about and all that. I would hope that this got cleared ahead of time. I don't know, but I would hope it got cleared ahead of time. There's plenty of like LOL, you're inbred stuff that MJF does that I'm like, ah, come on, you can move past that. You're better than that. But I thought this was the pot calling the kettle black. And it's also a great promo talking about a great promo too, a great promo cutter rather. So I was just like, come on, man.
So the one thing that popped into my head was Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart. So back in 97, 96, when they had real life animosity and in real life, they really did not like each other, but they were professional enough to work together. And they've both done interviews about this. Shawn would go to Bret, and this is when they got real life animosity.
Yeah.
Shawn would go to Bret and say, hit me with this one in the promo. Hit me with that one in the promo. Now, granted, by Shawn's own admission, sometimes he would veer from the script. So he would tell Bret he's going to do this, but then he would do that, which he shouldn't do. But oftentimes, though, when Bret would say things in a promo and you'd be like, ooh, Shawn encouraged it because they ran it by each other first. So what I was going to ask you, and you've answered it, I was going to ask you, would MJF go to Sting and say, hey, I'm going to mention Lex Luger in a wheelchair? because I look at it like you just said, if he gets clearance first, if he goes to Sting and if he goes to all the other guys, he cuts these heated promos on, and if he says, I'm going to throw out this dig, then to me, it's okay. But if he doesn't, and if he waits till they're in the ring and then you say, you know, to Sting, Lex Luger wheelchair, then I could see Sting being, you are a piece of shit.
Yeah.
That's what I would like to know. That'd be the difference.
Sting wouldn't hesitate to tell him that either. Sting is very transparent about that.
Right.
But again, we're talking about a guy who calls his own mom a slut. I mean, that's, and I do think that there's, okay, so to clarify, because I know a lot of people tried to go at me over the saying that Jericho was making a lame veiled homophobic joke, and they were like, oh, you're offended? And I was like, I wasn't offended. It was, to me, they can do better than that. Not even like from an offensive standpoint, just from a content standpoint. I look at these people as actors. I truly do. There's not a whole lot that they could do or say that I'd get offended by, because I watch a lot of movies and I watch a lot of this stuff where far crazier stuff happens. Wrestling is unique. These people, like, I always point to it and say, Mickey James plays a character named Mickey James, but then she goes to a restaurant and she's still Mickey James. That's her name. That happens a lot. And a lot of these people interact with you on social media. There are blurred lines, but I do think it is important that we distinguish that they are performers, whether it be Jericho saying something like that. But I mean, they're not necessarily always scripted performers. There's so much inside, outside of it. It's just, I would think that joke was lame if it were on a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm, it depends on context. It depends on the situation. And in that situation, I thought it was lame. I thought MJF's in that particular situation was an important dig at Sting because he's trying to get under that person's skin. Yeah. And not always. I think a lot of the stuff that MJF says, I'm like, man, you could do better than that.
Yeah. And I don't disagree. But again, I'd like to hope that he ran it by Sting first and didn't string it on him. But I guess that's something we'll have to find out. Chad Gable, we've talked about him before. What a monster this guy is. Whew. Seeing him in there with Big E, powering him up on Raw. Chad Gable is a beast. It's unfortunate that he's not 6'2". If he was 6'2", he'd be a multi-time world champion. But because he's 5'8", Vince McMahon's not going to give him that chance. I think he's probably never going to be anything more but glorified enhancement in WWE. Dave Meltzer made reference, and I think it was just his opinion. I don't think he had any fact in there, but Dave Meltzer made reference to, oh, Chad Gable, you know, is not going to renew. Have you heard much about his contract status? Because, I mean, last week he had Finn Balor. This week he had Big E. They gave him time, but he lost both matches. And I believe that is always going to be the pattern against, you know, upper guys. So have you heard anything about Chad Gable?
Sort of. And I reported it this summer. So a lot of people made a lot of FTR. I think it was Dax tweeting, oh, don't worry. In about 4 or 5 months, you'll be able to come play with us. So when I reach out to people about that, they're like, no, his contract isn't up anywhere near that. It's not that. They felt it was just them, FTR, letting him know, hey, buddy, we'll vouch for you, type of thing.
Right. Okay. I mean, he is a talent. And,
oh, he sure is.
Seeing him in there with Big E, because Big E is not a small human. You know what I mean? And seeing him throw him around, like, you know, basically physically pick him up. He did the roll through in the bridge. Like, he is a very special talent. Someone else I want to put over is Becky Lynch. I saw her. So when she came back and they turned her heel, and I didn't know at first that she wanted to come back as a heel until she acknowledged that in interviews afterwards, I thought it was a bad idea. I thought this girl is like the hottest women star on your roster. Didn't understand making her heel. Even when she's doing heel stuff, the crowd was still chanting Becky. But now I see how she's kind of coming into her own, and she's being heelish, but factual. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So she was on commentary on Raw, and she was being kind of arrogant and heelish, but she was being factual. She was throwing out like factual information, and she doesn't shit on her opponents. Like, she put over Bianca.
Yeah.
But she's kind of doing it as a heel. And when you add that accent to her character, I just thought this is a very endearing personality. You know, Becky's become one of my favorites. And so I want to put her over. I didn't agree with the heel turn. And now I see where they're going a little bit different with it. She's just not just going out there shitting on the crowd. She's giving factual information about I'm really good. You know what? Yeah, she's good too, but I'm better.
Well, it took a few steps for that though.
Right.
It certainly did.
Right. All right. That's all I got for you, bud.
Guys, we're going to be here for AEW tonight. Not here on Fightful.com, but my Q&A show will run tomorrow. I think I'm going to run a live edition. So that way we can get in before the Tony Khan media call and all that stuff. So look for that probably noon or 1 Eastern. So because it's live, it'll be video as well. Tell the world you love Fightful Select. Until next time, we're out.